Very good. If you could turn again in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'd like to continue on there. We want to focus as we first begin, as we said, every victory has to come from the point of view that Christ has won the victory, that we work, that we fight, that we war from victory, not for victory. And so with that in mind, when we think about in our own lives, this thought of conquering faith and facing Goliath, dare to engage in spiritual battle. I saw this on, as I was looking at Google Image, and I saw this one, and I said, this is exactly what we're doing. We're daring to engage in spiritual warfare and spiritual battle. And we have a mighty foe, and we don't want to in any way lose sight of the fact that he is a mighty foe. We don't want to demean him in any way, but we need to understand that as we think about conquering faith and living out in faith, trusting God day by day, whatever the situation might be, that we have such a one who has already won the victory. And it's from that perspective that we go from. And thinking about this, then you'll see in your notes that much of what is said about David, who is a picture of Christ, and much what is said about Christ is also said about us. We see that we are sanctified, and that we are to be submissive, and we are to be strengthened, and we are to expect to be scorned. And those are the very characteristics that we saw in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of what we see in him, and in the Epistle of John in chapter 4, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so it reminds us, doesn't it, that what he has brought us into and what he has made us to be, we are to live it out. We are to live it out. And that's what conquering faith does. So we want to look a little bit about conquering faith. And four lessons before the battle begins. Four things that need to characterize your life and my life before the battle ever begins. Before we ever step into the battle territory. Four lessons that need to happen in our life. And first off is that we need to be sanctified. We need to have a life that is set apart. We need to not only positionally sanctification, as we mentioned, but also in a daily aspect, day in and day out, we need to make sure that we're living a life that's set apart for him. And I find it striking that, as I mentioned here, as Emad takes us a little bit here, there we go, sanctification. I think it's interesting that before we get to chapter 6, where the spiritual warfare is mentioned. If you just turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, what we find. And in verse 1, we find in chapter 4 and chapter 5, this thought of living out a sanctified life, conducting ourselves in this world in such a way that displays that we're sanctified, that we're set apart for God. This idea is not so much being holier than thou, being sanctified. It's not about being holier than thou, but it's about being holy. And what he says is that we are to walk in love. And if you would go through chapter 4 and 5, we're to walk in unity. We're to not grieve the Holy Spirit. We're to walk in love. We're to walk circumspectly. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk in wisdom. And you have this idea of our conduct, our sanctification is to be displayed in our Christian life. Be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy as he is, so are we in this world. And so he is holy and we are to be holy. It's not that we're holy in ourselves. It's not because of what we do is holy. It's because of the position that he's brought us into. And we work from that position then. And he says in chapter 4, talking about this idea of unity, he says in chapter 4, and I just want to outline a couple of these verses in Ephesians. He says, therefore, as prisoners of the Lord, as those who don't belong to yourself, those who belong to the Lord, those who are His prisoners. I beseech you, therefore, walk worthy of the calling in which you've been called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's striking that we often emphasize verse 3 and maybe verse 4, but we lose sight of verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 is so important that how can we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace if we're not walking lowly before the Lord? If our attitude isn't right, if I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought, if I'm not putting you first, how is it then that I am going to be holy for the Lord? Because we saw last night, what is it that God hates the most? What is it that we read in Proverbs 6 that God hates? What is it that caused Lucifer to become Satan, to become the devil, to become the dragon, to become that wicked one, to become that evil one, as Scripture gives him all those titles? It was the pride when he lifted himself up, as we saw last night, that pride. And I tell you, that pride is what's dividing assemblies. That pride in here, it's what's causing friction between saint and saint. Because instead of acting like saints, sanctified ones, we act like sinners. Hate to be so blunt. There's only one way to say it. And so he says that our walk ought to be lowly. Our walk ought to be in humility. Our walk ought to be, you know what humility is? Humility is not thinking lowly of myself. That's false humility. Humility is not thinking of myself at all. Period. It's not think, oh yeah, that's not humility. Humility is that I don't think about myself, but I put you in front of me. I've often told the story of two brothers, and I was walking with these two brothers, and they were arguing about who's going to go through the door first. And one was holding the door. He said, no, you go. No, you go. No, you go. No, you. They're trying to be humble, right? While they fought, I went through the door. False humility. But what we find here is that if we're going to be sanctified, that he mentions these verses, and there's so much you could say about sanctification. That is a weekend in itself, isn't it? This idea of being separated for the Lord, to be sanctified for the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. It's something that God wants you to be. It's something that God says in Scripture. Oh, you know, well, a lot of times we worry about the will of God. A lot of times we well, is this the will of God? Is that the will of God? Is it God's will that I go to this school? Is it God's will that I marry that girl? Is it God's word that I do this and that? And we worry about God's will, but we haven't done what we're told yet. And this is the will of God, your sanctification. And so this is one of the things that God wants us to be. A separated people, not an isolated people, but a people whose heart is separated unto Him. And so this idea of sanctification, this affects our everyday living. And if we're not a sanctified people, we'll never be a submitted people. If we're not set apart in my heart, that we could say, as Psalm 16 says, that the Lord is my portion. If our hearts aren't sanctified, listen, we'll never get to the point, but okay, I want to be submitted to you. He says this in Peter, I think it's in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart in your hearts. Listen, if He has preeminent place in your heart, you'll have no problem with submission if He has the preeminent place. Most of us, probably in all of our lives, He's present because we're here. So He's present in some form. In most of our lives, He's probably prominent. He's probably prominent, meaning that you give Him a big part of your life. He didn't say that in all things He might be prominent. He said in all things He might be preeminent. The Lord doesn't want to be prominent, and He doesn't want to just be present. He wants to be preeminent. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart.